We're going to look at Psalms 1. This chapter was introduced to me about 40 years ago. We would come to North Carolina during the summer months because Mom and Dad had been here for several years, and we would stay with the Harpers. And one of the requirements for us to come to Carolina was we had to memorize one chapter before we got back home. Well, we were not going to memorize that chapter till we started back home. I mean, we just had too much fun up here and too much going on. And so I knew going home that I had to memorize a chapter. And I knew Psalms 1 had 6 verses in it. I wasn't going to memorize Psalms 119. So I said, that's my chapter. And little did I know that this chapter would be with me my whole life. And little did I know that, I don't know if my dad knew this when he introduced this chapter to us. I don't know if he understood the implications of this chapter. I'm sure he did. But man, if you will get this chapter, this is important. Listen to me now. This will bless you for the rest of your life. It's a simple chapter. Even a child can understand it. There's not a lot of theological depth in this chapter. But if you want to know how to live a successful life, and listen, and live it well, this is your chapter. It's a great chapter. And most people just recite it, but they don't understand the moving parts that are in it. So I thought we would take Psalms 1 and we would just tackle it this morning and see what we can learn. So let's go. You ready? Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When you look at this chapter, what you see right out of the gate is this. Verses 1, 2, and 3, and verses 4 and 5 are a comparison. He's showing you in 1, 2, and 3 what a Christian looks like. He's showing you in verse 4 and 5 what a non-Christian looks like. So whatever a Christian looks like in 1, 2, and 3, I kind of want to know that. Because that's what I am as a Christian. And I want to know what are all the moving parts to what a Christian looks like. And then you see some incredible promises buried in this chapter if you decide to practice these verses. So the first word that I would put across verse 1 is associations. A Christian is extremely careful who they associate with. Not that we're better, not that we're more important than other people, but you understand the benefit of verse 1 if you are careful of who you associate with. So to me, it's not that I'm better than someone else. It's just the reality that my God is challenging me to be very careful of my associations because you could get messed up. Look at verse 1. 3 words jump out at me. Walk, stand, and sit. You say, why is that so significant? I tell my kids, you're starting school in a month. We start school in Atlanta back on August 1st. I tell them, the first month of school, all I want you to do is walk. Just walk. They said, what do you mean by that, Daddy? Just walk. I said, you're getting new kids coming into this school. You don't know their background. You don't know their passions. You don't know their desires. You don't know if they're a good influence or a bad influence. You don't know this, that all kids, at least a lot of kids, kids with high morals and values run together, and kids with low morals and values run together. The first month of school, all I want you to do is just walk. Just walk through those halls. Walk through the lunch line. Walk through this class. Walk to this class. Go to this class. You just walk. And as you're walking, you're listening. And you're learning conversations, how they're talking. Because here's what I know. If you want to know what I'm like, get an idea of my heart. You say, what's your heart like? Watch this. You'll get a good idea of my heart by the way I talk. Because my mouth is a reflection of my heart. And as you're walking, what you're going to do is you're going to listen. Because the number one word in Proverbs that Solomon said over and over and over, my son, my son, my son, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Listen. And as you listen, what you're going to find out, maybe this guy Randy's a good friend or not. Maybe I should get to know this guy. Maybe he loves Jesus and he'll encourage me to love Jesus. All I'm going to do, because here's what happens. Look at the verse. When you walk and then you stand, influence begins to happen. You just stop. Wait a second. I want to talk to this guy, Matt. I'm just going to stand here a second. And what happens? Influence begins to happen. And then what happens? Look at the verse. Then he says what? Then you sit down with him. Then they come over to your house. Then you go to lunch with them. Then what? Then they become a regular on your iPad. Just listening to this, watching this, and what happens? The whole process, you walk, then you stood, and then you started sitting. And once you see the progression of what? Of influence. And a Christian does what? They're very careful who they walk with. They're very careful who they sit with. They're very careful who they stand with, because why? They don't want to get tainted. It's not that we're better. You fist pump all those guys as you're walking by them. You're not better than any of those girls or guys, Jason, Joey. But here's what I want you to do. I just want you to realize that if you decide to walk with whoever, if you decide to stand with whoever, if you decide to sit with whoever, just realize you're going to miss out on something. Look at verse 1. What's the first word? Talk to me. See that? You'll miss out on a blessing. I'm not better than Mark. I'm not better than Matt. It's just what? I'm just careful who I associate with. Because why? This is a promise. He says, why? Look at verse 1. There's counsel that's going to be thrown around. I don't listen to the world's counsel. Why? I listen to God's counsel. I don't follow the world's counsel. I follow God's command. I don't want to get into the way of sinners. What does that mean? I don't want to start living with people that I shouldn't be associating with. I try to reach them for Jesus. I try to associate with them, to love them, but I'm not taking counsel from them. Or this way, I'm just careful. And how would I say that? I'll say it this way. You, don't miss this, you make your decisions. You make your choices. And then your choices make you. And your whole life as a Christian, this thing is not for wimps. It's for warriors. Because your whole life, you're trying to do what? You don't want to trip up and fall. You're trying to associate with the right people. You don't want to walk with people or stand with people or sit with people that's not going to influence you. Because what happens? Look at the third one down there in verse 1. You're like, well, I'll just walk with who I want to walk with. I'll just stand with who I want to stand with. Okay, notice the progression. You're now a scorner. You say, what's a scorner, Nolan? A scorner is this. A scorner knows what's right. They don't care to do what's right. And then they make fun of people who do what's right. That's a scorner. They know what's right. Those nut jobs in Hollywood, they know what's right. They what? They don't care to do what's right. And then what do? They make fun of us for doing what's right. So the progression is this. I'll walk with who I want to walk with. I'll stand with who I want to stand with. I'll sit with who I want to sit with. And their influence will come into my life. And what happens? I could become a scorner. And then not only that, but what am I going to miss out on? Verse 1 is blessed. I'm going to miss a blessing if I decide to do that. Verse 1 is huge for a Christian, for a non-Christian. Again, it's not that we're better. It's just what? We're just taking some insider information. There's a blessing that comes on our life when we're what? When we're careful who we walk with. You're like, well, you got those teenagers pretty good. Well, let me just bring it on home. You ever seen this thing in the home? You ever seen this thing called a clicker? What happens sometimes to moms and dads? What happens? They're just home and they're just walking. They're walking from this channel to that channel. They're just walking. And all of a sudden, they stop walking and they start standing. They're just flipping through that iPad. They're just flipping through YouTube. And what happens? They're just walking. Then they stop. And what happens? Influence begins to happen. And as soon as influence begins to happen, what happens? You wouldn't watch that if my brother was sitting in the chair beside you. But what happens? Now what happens? You just start sitting. And what happens? There goes the blessing. Then you get influenced in a negative way. You start talking differently. You start acting differently. And so your whole life, this is for warriors. I'm not better than anyone else. I'm just taking this insider information, and I'm just careful who I associate with. I don't give anybody access to my ears, because why? It's going to affect my heart. And then it's going to affect my mouth. And the people around me are going to feel that. So my whole life has to be what? I'm guarded with what I watch. I'm guarded with what I look at. I'm guarded with that, because why? I want a blessing. I don't want someone to influence me negatively. So verse 1 is a tremendous promise that if you're careful who you associate with, you're careful who you get counsel from, there's a blessing there. And that's just verse 1. You're like, well, what do you do while you're doing this whole association thing and you're careful who you associate with? That's a great question. Because most of my days are like your days. Most of my days are just no big deal kind of days. What happened Thursday? I don't know. I got up, did this, did that, did this, did that, went to bed. Most of my days are no big deal kind of days. So what do you do while you're careful who you associate with? What do you do in your own life? Ready? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wow. So not only am I careful who I associate with, but now what am I going to do as a Christian? I'm going to feed myself the Word of God. You say, well, how do you have time to read a book of the Bible every day? I don't. How do you have time to study the Bible 5 hours a day? I don't. Listen, we're in the 21st century. To me, there's no excuse that I do not know this Bible. Well, this is important. If you study the New Testament and you study the life of Paul, one of the things that fascinates me about Paul is he had a biblical mind. I don't know how many times you read Galatians or Ephesians or Colossians, or you read a book of the Bible that Paul wrote, and you keep seeing he's referencing the Old Testament. He's referencing the Old Testament. What in the world? How did he know about the Old Testament? He had a biblical mind. He had a biblical mind. And so one of the things that I think is enjoyable is this, is that, watch this, don't miss this. Your faith increases as your level of understanding increases of the Bible. You say, well, I want to know more of the Bible. Or Nolan, I want to have stronger faith. How do I have stronger faith? Now watch this. Your faith goes up as your level of understanding of the Bible goes up. You see that? The more I know the Bible, the stronger faith I have. The less I know the Bible, the weaker my faith becomes and is. So to me, if I can understand the Bible, my faith goes up, and then I read this verse. For without faith, you can't please God. So if I want to please God, what do I need to do? My faith needs to go up, and then as my faith goes up, what happens? God's pleased. How do you do verse 2? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. One of the greatest 21st century investments. One of the greatest 21st century inventions, look at me, is this thing right here. We call this thing a pod. To me, this goes with me everywhere I go. I'll be at the basketball court. I have a pod with me. You can get these at the phone store. This is the greatest invention of the 21st century. See, I grew up in the 80s. In the 80s, we had this thing called a Walkman. And then the Walkman would have me bonkers, because I'd be out training for basketball, running laps and doing whatever, and I'd move my arm, and that crazy wire from the Walkman would cause it to come out of my pocket and go all over the floor. And then I had to have a tape. You know what a cassette tape is, teenager? We have a cassette tape inside that Walkman. It'd drive you crazy. You're trying to run, and your arm would hit it, and the wire comes intact. It just drove me nuts. This is incredible. Now watch this. The greatest spiritual discipline that I've ever done in my life was listen to one sermon every day. I read this verse, but his delight, watch this, his affection, his delight, his happiness. You know what happens when I see chocolate cake with white icing? I get delighted. I love chocolate cake with white icing. I get excited when I get to have chocolate cake with white icing. Watch this. But his delight, his excitement, his happiness is in the law of the Lord. I'm like, I don't know how you do that, God. I don't have time to read a book of the Bible. I don't have a time to memorize the book of Psalms. So I said, you know what I can do? I can listen to one sermon every day. So every day, I listen to one sermon every day on this thing right here called a pod. You tack it to your phone. Now watch this. This has become a drug. It's become addictive because I cherish the moments when I'm able to pull out my pod and I'm able to listen to one sermon and I'm like, it's right. It becomes the greatest thing in the world because why? You keep feeding on God, you keep feeding on this sermon, and what happens? It just excites you and you understand things about the Bible that you never understood before. And guess what? Your faith goes up. And as your faith goes up, guess what? God is pleased and it becomes an addiction. I got friends of mine doing this. You know what they do to me? They send me sermons. They're like, you got to listen to this. This one's good. And I'm like, it's true. You say, what are you going to do in the chicken houses? I'm going to listen to a pod. What are you going to do when you're out baling hay tomorrow? I'm just going to pull out my pod and listen to one sermon. Because why? It will cause me to delight in the law of the Lord. The affection of my life is what? The affection of my life is the Bible. And then watch this. It'll capture your attention. It'll not only capture your affection, but verse 2 says it'll capture my attention. Look at verse 2. How often do you do this, Nolan? Look at the verse. Day and night. You know what happens when I go to bed at night? Listen to a sermon. You know what happens when I can't sleep? Listen to a sermon. And it becomes excitement in my own life, just a spiritual discipline that I've done in my life. And I'm just telling you, just try it for 30 days. You got to be careful who you listen to today. But as you listen to a sermon and your faith goes up, your excitement goes up, and then what happens? This stuff will rattle around in my brain. It'll rattle around in my brain all day long. Why is that? That's what it says it'll do. It'll capture your affection, and then it will capture your attention. And all day long, I'm not worried about the next paycheck. I'm not worried about the next problem in a relationship. I'm not worried about, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to my children? How are they going to be raised the proper way? I don't worry about the stuff the world worries about. Because why? My focus is on God, and God knows the desires of my heart. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to lean in. He's going to help me. Because why? I'm focused on Him. I'm doing it day and night. And guess what? That's just verse 2. So number 1 is association. Number 2 is what? I just focused on the Word of God. One sermon a day, it works for me. If you got another way, do it for you. All I'm trying to challenge you to do is this is what a godly person does. You say, well, what happens if I'm careful of my associations? What happens if I feed on the Word of God? What's going to happen? You ready? Verse 3, and he shall be like a what? See that? God's going to turn you into a tree. You say, what in the world does that mean? It's imagery. You're not literally going to become a tree. Let me try to break it down for you. You know what I have in my front yard? Oak tree. It's a big oak tree. You know what I love about that oak tree? Every day that I walk outside and I look at that oak tree, it screams at me, be like me, be like me. You say, why does it scream that at you? My son Jason and I, we like to play basketball. There's only certain times of the day that we'll play basketball. And it's when the sun goes behind that tree. Watch this. Because the tree becomes shade. It becomes shade for us. And man, we're out there, it's 90 degrees, and we're playing basketball, and that sun isn't hurting us at all. You know what people need in their life today? They need shade. They need what? They need safety. They need to come up next to a rock who's solid in their faith and lean on that person for guidance, for direction. You know what God's going to do to you if you're careful who you associate with? You're careful to feed on the Word of God? He's going to turn you into a tree. Not literally. He's going to turn you into what? He's going to turn you into a shade tree so you can be a blessing to other people. We got a messed up world. You know that. I mean, our world says what? There's male and female and transgender. And you need to take our counsel and you need to accept that. And we're like, wait a second. If I accept this whole transgender thing that's being pushed today, counsel of the ungodly, wait a second, isn't that an assault against God? Didn't God say that he created them male and female? So for me to accept your counsel is violating the word of God. So what do I do to these transgender people? Do I snub my nose at them? No. I become a tree. I come and put my arm around them, and I love them, and I teach them about Jesus, and I comfort them. And then what happens? Look at verse 3. By the rivers of water. What does that mean? You're rock solid. You ever try to get a tree up? You ever try to get a tree up? Try it. It'll tear your bumper off. Because there's some trees, their roots go so far down. You know, I'm fascinated by many of you who lived in the same house for years. Randy Harper's lived in the same house for 100 years. I'm like, does he ever move? He just stays in the same house. I know exactly where he's at. There's such stability for your kids. Such stability for your family when what? When you're just rock solid. You're not tossing about to and fro. You're not moving over this doctrine and moving over this way and changing this job and changing this and doing this. There's just something about the imagery that God's going to turn me into a tree. Look at this, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What does that mean? You know a tree don't eat its own fruit? Fruit's for what? Other people. You know what my kids need? They need fruit. They need their dad to be rock solid, and when they need direction on a relationship, I'm not calling Dear Abby. I'm calling my dad. Because why? My dad's a tree. My dad has wisdom. My dad has discernment. My dad knows exactly up, down, left, and right, and he knows God. And so I'm going to lean on my dad and his wisdom and his fruit, and oh my, he's going to help me. You see why people in your life need you to be a tree? You see why people in your life need you to be careful who you associate with and who you, and you what, and the fact that you feed on the word of God? It's not you turning yourself into this. It's God turning yourself into that. God's doing it. Look at this, verse 3. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Now, what does that mean? Two words. Look at me. Curtis Barbary. That's who I see when I read that phrase, his leaf also shall not wither. Now, what does that mean? It won't fade away. I mean, I drove by the cemetery yesterday, and I already got the guy's headstone out there. Like, man, the impact of Curtis Barbary on this church, his leaf doesn't fade away. You just don't forget about him. You see the impact. You know what Daddy said? Daddy's been gone 30 years. You know what Mama said? Mama's been gone 30 years. What happened? Mama fed on the word of God. Mama associated with the right people, and they keep talking about you. They keep leaning on your wisdom. His leaf shall not wither. That means you have a legacy. And here's the clincher. Look at verse 3. And what's the next word? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, well, how do you have a successful business? Are you good at sales? Are you good at this? Oh, no. Why do you have a successful business? How do you do this? How do you build that church? How do you do this? I just feed on the word of God and be careful who I'm associated with. He turns me into a tree, and it just seems like everything I touch, he just makes it to prosper. Because why? They don't make rash decisions. Godly people, what? They're careful how they decide. They pray about what they decide. And what happens? God leans in and begins to prosper them. That's 1 through 3. You say, well, what if I don't go that route? Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It's just imagery. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow, and you've forgotten them. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're just here today, they make no contribution long term to our society, and boom, they're gone. I don't want to be that person. Look at verse 5. The ungodly, or therefore the ungodly,
shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What does that mean? You know, there's a silly game that the world plays today. It goes back to that council. We don't believe in it, but we'll play the game. The game is what? Well, you know, the Bible very clearly teaches us that the moment we breathe our last breath, that next moment we're in the presence of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we believe and accept. But our world wants to play a silly game, so let's play their silly game. All right, Nolan, when you die and you get up to heaven by the gates, that pearly gate, and old Peter comes out with his clipboard, and Peter asks you, Nolan, why he should let you into heaven, what are you going to say? And what are you going to say to Peter? I'm going to tell him one word. It starts with a J, and it ends with an S. You want to guess what it is? You say, that's all you got? That's all I need. That's all I need. You see that? Because why? Watch this. I don't stand. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. God's going to judge this whole world. And there's going to be a lot of good people that's going to stand there. They're going to say, hey, look what I accomplished. Look at all the morality that I've got. Look at all the good works that I did. Look at all the homeless people in Africa that I fed. Look at all the water that I built in Africa. Wait a second. Look at all that I got. And God's going to say, you're not going to stand on that in this judgment. Randy, come on up here. And Randy will stand up and say, this is what you're going to stand on. And he says, all I got is Jesus. And that's all we stand on. See, the ungodly are what? They are not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And all their good works, and all their morality, and all the good things that they think is going to get them into heaven, they're not going to stand on it. They can't. Because why? Can't get to heaven except through Jesus, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift that he gives us. We don't stand on our good works, and neither will the ungodly. They think they will. And that's what you see today, the whole council thing. They think they're good and moral, and they're going to get there. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know what the difference between heaven and hell is? So what's the difference between heaven and hell? Heaven and hell is distinguished by one thing. Heaven's full of people whose sins have been forgiven. And hell is full of people whose sins haven't. That's the difference between heaven and hell. Everybody in heaven is there because why? Their sins have been forgiven. Everybody in hell is there. Why? Because their sins haven't. And we don't stand on anything that we've done. We stand on Jesus. You see, that's all you got? That's all we need. Amen? Last verse. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Isn't that good? He knows Robert Murray fell off a ladder recently. He's at home right now. He knows when you're in the chicken houses. He knows Randy played golf Monday and cheated a few times playing that golf thing. He knows that. He knows what you're going to do on Thursday or Wednesday at the 4th of July. Isn't that good? He knows the hairs on my head. He knows when I go to sleep and I'm worried about my children. He knows that. He knows when I'm worried about this relationship and I'm embarrassed about this and I'm frustrated about this. Isn't that great to know that our God is not like Allah? You mean to tell me that my God is not going to make me strap something around my waist and then go into a cafe in Jerusalem and blow it up and then he will accept me? Are you kidding me? You know, isn't it great to know that our God knows the way of the righteous? He knows when you're feeding on a sermon. He knows when you're careful who you associate with. You know what one of my friends did? He got so worried about verse 1, he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to put a thing on my computer, and if I look at something I shouldn't, it's going to email my mother-in-law. I said, yikes, Billy. I said, that's crazy. He said, it motivates me, man. He said, I don't want that woman calling me. I thought, that's smart. The lengths that you go to be careful who you associate with, feeding on the Word of God, and then it becomes a drug. You're like, give me another sermon. Give me another sermon because my faith will go up. And then he does what? He turns me to a tree that becomes shade for my children, that becomes rock for my family, and there's wisdom and there's fruit that comes out of my life, and I'm able to enrich their life. And then he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's Psalms 1. You love that chapter. Can I get an amen? It was a couple of years ago. We were in transition from one house to another, and the kids and I ran to the grocery store, and in my defense, just so you know, I had not shopped at this grocery store before. It was a new experience for me. So we go into the grocery store, we get what it is we needed, we come back out, they jump in the car, I'm throwing the stuff in the car, they put on their headsets. I get the bags in the car, and I looked around for one of those buggy return things. You ever seen that? Oh, it drives me nuts. Those things are always a half a mile away. You're pushing that buggy across the parking lot. And in my defense, I had not shopped at this grocery store before. And in my defense, I didn't look around for a buggy return thingy, and I couldn't find it. So I just left it by the car. I get in the car, shut that door, put my seatbelt on, turn that car off. One headset comes off. Daddy, you going to leave that buggy by the car, or you going to put it back where it belongs? I thought, man alive. Even when you think they're not watching, they're watching you. They're listening. Wouldn't it be great to have a group of people at Beulah who's careful who they associate with? We're not better. We just realize there's a blessing where God will lean in as you guard what you watch on that iPad. You guard what you look at on that phone, what you look at on that TV. Bring someone around you who can hold you accountable. I mean, do what you got to do to guard the blessing that's in verse 1. Feed on the Word of God. Just one sermon a day. It'll stick with you. It becomes a drug. You'll be like, man, I got to have another sermon. That was so good. All it is Jesus. And then what? He turns you into a tree. You just rock solid. People come around you not because you're better than them. It's just because what? You're shade. You're just a rock for safety for them. They need wisdom and insight. You're a tree. And then you know your God knows you. He knows everything you struggle with, everything you wish he would change. Listen, he knows every single answer to the questions that you're asking. He knows that you know he hasn't answered them yet. You just keep feeding on the Word. Just keep feeding on the Word. And you watch how God will work in your life.